back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to thank my last guest, Mr. Party Kalika, for, you know, coming and spending some time with us. Certainly won't be the last time. I'm going to, you know, after break, give you the name of his book. Trust me, I'll make sure I remember to do that. But I want to say good morning to my guest, my next guest, Mr. John Chisholm. He is the district attorney of the city of Milwaukee. Good morning to you, D.A. Chisholm. How are you?
As well, it's really good to be back with you again.
You know, it's been a long time, and I never will forget, and see if you remember, when I was on a different radio station many years ago now, it seems, and you first came in and became the district attorney of the city of Milwaukee, and I remember a conversation you and I had, and you said and talked about what you were going to do, because you actually replaced an iconic DA that had been there. How many years had he been there?
Mike had served as the Milwaukee County DA for 38 years.
38 years. And I forgot Mike's last name. How could I forget it?
Yep. Mr. McCann.
Mike McCann.
And in fact, he hired me in 1994, right out of law school. And I served as an assistant DA for about 12 years. And right around 2006 is when Mike announced he was retiring, and that's when I ran. And that's exactly when I came on your show and had an opportunity to talk to you and to your guests and discuss the challenges that we were facing at the time and where I hope to take the office in the future.
Yes, you've got a great memory, because I also remember saying to you when you came back after having been elected and having the position for a while, I said to you, you were a man who lived up to your word. You said what you were going to do, and you did that. And I never will forget that conversation you and I had. So it's always great to have you on. You know, you're a man of honor, and, you know, you're not in an easy position, but you knew that going in, right?
No, that's exactly right. And you know, thank you for those kind thoughts. But the reality is, it's a privilege. This position offers you the privilege to try to make conditions in the community we live in better, and that's what makes it worth it. Is every day you get to come in and face really tremendous challenges, but you have the freedom to try to make a difference, and I think that's what attracts good people to the job. As frustrating and sometimes as heartbreaking as aspects of the job can be, the flip side of it is you see the very best of humanity as well. So that's what I often will tell people, is that in this job you get to see the best, and yes, sometimes the worst of humanity.
You know, there's, you know, it's easy for people to say once people should be locked up. And when people commit crimes, I don't think there's any of us who don't believe that there are crimes that people should be locked up for. But let me ask you, there's a limit of space in the society for, you know, for crimes. Some crimes, many crimes are worse than others. There are some crimes that you and your staff have to determine whether or not we can afford to keep certain people locked up for extenuating times. Is that the case? I mean, you can't just lock up everybody and keep them locked up, can you?
That is the case, Earl. And in fact, we had this discussion back in 2006, and the conditions have not changed in terms of the obligation we have to wisely use the resources that are given to us to try to have the biggest impact in the areas that need the biggest impact. Because the reality is this, is that I believe as much as anybody in enforcing the social compact, right? There has right. to be a consequence when people violate other people's rights to be safe and secure, hurt them or damage their property, things of that nature. But the reality is that there are limits. You're seeing those limits every single day. And, for example, one of the biggest challenges to the city of Milwaukee right now is how do they actually pay for their police and fire services? And so if you have a realistic understanding and appreciation of how expensive the criminal justice system is, then you also have an obligation to use those resources where they're most needed. And what I've always said is I place my priority on the individuals that are harming other people. You know, these are people that are shooting other people, that are robbing other people, sexually assaulting other people, that are driving recklessly, that are driving intoxicated or impaired, people that are distributing large amounts
illegal substances.
Insanely dangerous drugs that are killing people at record rates. This is where we put our priority. That does not mean that we don't do something about the other problems. And so what I started early on in my administration was what we call our early interventions program, which has sometimes been mischaracterized, right? That's apparently sometimes referred as the soft on crime. What it really is you take the people that are relatively low risk and who are coming into the system again and again because they are drug addicted, they're alcohol dependent, they have mental health issues, they're first-time offenders, and it never applies to a violent offender. And I want to make that clear. I made it clear back then, and it's always been my policy. You know, this does not apply to violent offenses. They get a completely different approach and a different track. But what we're trying to do is give people an opportunity to correct the problem without necessarily spending long times in jail, without spending long times in prison, so that we can reserve those resources for the people that have demonstrated that they can't safely remain in the community, and that they have to be sanctioned and for a period of time, whatever appropriate period of time until that behavior changes. So that's always been the approach, is just to try to address problems like mental health, drug addiction in one way, and address violent offenses and dangerous offenses in another. And so that remains true from 2006 to present.
To say that you and your office is not concerned about crime that's insane.
The numbers certainly don't support it, right? Because, you know, I currently have six prosecutors prosecute nothing but homicides, and they have like a 95% conviction rate. And yet, having said that, the challenge to the community just on that offense alone is enormous, and that we've in the last 3 years seen the largest increase in interpersonal violence and homicides in the city's history. And the solve rate of those offenses is less than 50% right now. And so that's the challenge to the community. And it's all tied up into, you know, the massive blow that the system took when the pandemic hit, and many of the services that are intended to prevent and intervene and keep these things under control basically got wiped away for a period of time, and it certainly impacted our system. I currently have like 11,000 pending cases, and fortunately, the governor has recognized that. A couple weeks ago, he announced that he was allocating about $15 million to the Milwaukee County court system. This would allow me to hire 15 more prosecutors. You'd get 15 more public defenders. You could potentially open up to 5 more courts. all of that has to be done, because the one thing that we've learned about the last couple of years is that you have to have a functioning criminal justice system. It's never perfect, and I was acknowledging back in 2006 that it's not perfect, and that I wanted to improve the way we functioned as a criminal justice system and focused on the important things. So there's always a need to look at what you're doing and try to improve it, but you've got to have one. For those who argue that you don't need a functioning criminal justice system, you can kind of see what happens. Just in the last couple of years, things do tend to spin out of control if you can't allocate the right resources to keep it under control.
So on the line is DA John Chisholm, DA Chisholm, you talked about 11,000 cases. The jails are full. Okay. I mean, there's no room, but crimes are going on more and more every day. You talked about the murders. That's got to be the number one issue. You know, stolen cars, something else. But the murder rate, those people you've got to keep locked up. The sheer numbers of people who've been murdering other people, it's smaller crimes. You can't have everybody locked up. So,
Earl, the current number is, the max capacity for the Milwaukee County Jail is 950 individuals.
Wow.
At any one time. The current number of people who are being held awaiting a homicide trial is almost 200. So 200 of those 950 beds are currently occupied by people who have been accused of killing other people. And that leaves limited space for other, obviously I'm going to keep somebody that's sexually violent. I'm going to detain them until the opportunity for a trial. People that are, like you said,
hang on a second. Hold that thought. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. D.A. John Chisholm, District Attorney of City of Milwaukee, is on the line. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You text us at that same number. On the line is District Attorney John Chisholm. You know, before we went to break, we were talking about you've got 200 people locked up for murder. There's no telling how many more that as the police find out, with all the different murders that have taken place over the last several years, eventually they're going to wind up with more and more people that you have to lock up and keep locked up. And yet there's been this hue and cry for you to be removed because you are soft on crime. You are not keeping people locked up long enough, as if somehow the few taxpayers that are left in the city of Milwaukee can't afford to build even bigger and more fancy jails to lock up even more people. And even for some instances, somebody stole something. Nobody's saying that people who steal things should not have to pay some price or that the bail amounts that are out of your control are too easy, and that somehow you are behind all of those things. You say what?
So what I say to that is, again, part of my pledge to the people I serve was that we weren't going to just sit back in the courthouse and handle things as they came to us, that I would actually dedicate a portion of my office to put skin in the game and actually have assistant DAs get outside of the courthouse complex and embed themselves right in the neighborhoods that were most impacted by the troubles that you're talking about here, and to start developing actual relationships with the people that live in those neighborhoods and the community groups that are serving people and who never get any recognition or credit for the incredible work that they do, but to work with them on a daily basis, and yes, yes, to actually work with dedicated police officers who know that district, working with the city attorney's office to address property-related issues, working with the Department of Neighborhood Services to improve quality of life conditions, working with, you know, Children's Court, working with the mental health services, the public health services, working with the faith community, working with the school system, working with anybody that, that, like I said, has a stake in that neighborhood. So that's the, we're the only office in the state of Wisconsin that has actual prosecutors going out in the community with one mission, and that mission is help identify problems and then help the community solve those problems. It's not to lead from the top, it's to work from the bottom up, let the community identify those problems and work with them. Now, that program has been severely impacted by the shutdowns related to COVID, but prior to that happening, it has been extremely effective in helping us identify early on and focus resources where they're needed in a positive way. Now, the flip side of that is that you're absolutely right. There are limits to the lock them up, throw away the key approach, because most importantly, it's not effective. The most effective thing that we can do in the ideal world is you'd prevent these things from happening in the first place. You'd have right. You'd be able to identify young men in particular early on, which you have always been a champion of, and making sure that if they're demonstrating behaviors that you think are going to put them at risk and put the community at risk later on, you're wrapping around, you're literally putting a body on them early on, and you're getting them involved in mentorship and sports programs and academic programs. You're wrapping resources around them because you're fulfilling a need that is often goes missing, and it is then replaced by the criminal justice system. And that's not healthy for anybody. It's not good for anybody. And so one of my firm beliefs is yes, I am going to hold anybody accountable to the ethical limits that I can who harms another person. But I certainly would prefer that we also are able to prevent and intervene before things spill into a direction that they result in a lot of harm to people as well.
DHism, there are people who've been calling for you to be removed. There are people, who you're elected, and the people who elect you happen to be the citizens who live in the city of Milwaukee. Yet people who don't live in the city of Milwaukee and others are calling for you to be replaced, and because of a horrendous act by a person here in the city of Waukesha, that a sick person, clearly a person who had some mental health issues. No person without some kind of mental health issues would do what that gentleman did, and yet you have been scapegoated as the person who created that. You say what to that?
To that, I say that it's always, in my view, harmful when you exploit a tragedy for political purposes, and that's what has occurred here. It is a tragedy. I would never detract from the fact that people were severely harmed by this individual and their lives impacted tragically. I don't underplay that, nor do I make excuses for it. For the responsibility that my office had in that tragic chain of events, I immediately acknowledged that and took responsibility for it. But you are right. At the end of the day, a prosecutor does not set bail. That's a judicial function. And I don't use that as an excuse. I just simply say that, unfortunately, there are what were sometimes referred to as slow motion massacres occurring every single day in major cities throughout the country, including Milwaukee, and they don't get any of the attention that's been received there. And there's reasons for that. There's reasons for that, and so it becomes political, and yet the job of a DA cannot be political. It's yes, you have to run in a partisan election framework, but once you have the job, your job is to serve everybody in your community, whether they have a D or an R, and to do it in an ethical, principled way. That means, by definition, people are going to somebody is going to be unhappy with every decision you make. That's if you're not if you're not doing that, you're probably not doing your job.
You know.
So at the end of the day, I've always said, you know, I'm going to do the job in an ethical, principled way, and the consequences will be the consequences in terms of the electoral process. But I want to make sure I can look myself in the mirror every day, go home, and say, I did everything in my power to try to make this community safer and healthier.
So I remember the pushback. You were receiving a lot of pushback from people who were saying, you know, we've got people locked up and they haven't done a whole lot. We need to release those people. We need to cut the bail. You know, it can't be both ways.
I get it from both sides.
I know.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, and yet, both sides have some element of truth behind them, and so I never reject that either. We've gotten to a place in this country where everybody rejects the other side automatically, and that isn't a place that we can continue to go forward as a nation if we can't come to any common ground whatsoever. I'm a firm believer in coming to common ground. In other words, the people that were challenging our system as disproportionately locking up younger black men, sometimes on very low-level offenses and sometimes for fairly long periods of time, the data supported that. And when I looked at that data, I made the commitment to try to change that and yet do it in a responsible way. I am not one of these DAs that sometimes get a lot of press that simply says, I'm not going to enforce certain types of laws. That's not my job. My job is to enforce the job, to enforce the laws in a reasonable and reasoned way. And that means that I have a lot of discretion on how we do that, but I don't ignore laws.
D.A. Chisholm, I got to get you to hang on a second. We've got to go to a break.
Yeah.
844-967-2789 is the number on the line. District Attorney of the City of Milwaukee, Mr. John Chisholm. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number on the line. D.A. John Chisholm, it's been far too long of the city of Milwaukee since we've been able to have a discussion over the airwaves. But I guarantee you it won't be so long the next time. I think it's invaluable.
Well, that's a deal. I've always appreciated the opportunity to come and discuss these issues with you.
You know, DH, let's do this. Let's go to the phones. Who do we have on the line, Sam?
Tony's calling from Chicago.
Hey, Tony, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, how you doing? Well, I was wondering, I mean, so what about the open borders, the Hunter Biden laptop, the prices that are out of control, the gas prices, the war in Ukraine? You think this is going well for the last 2 years, according to what you said, correct?
Listen, let me say this. You are talking about national issues, which I talk about Monday through Friday. You know, every day I'm dealing with national issues. I am talking about a local issue in the city of Milwaukee right now. You should call me anytime Monday through Friday, and we'll be discussing those things. But today,
well, you should tell your call screener to make that clear, because she doesn't say anything like that when I call. She just says, "Hold on, I'll put you on." She doesn't even ask what I want to talk about.
Hey, listen, okay, so we'll call any other day. Call tomorrow. We'll talk about those things. Really appreciate it. Thank you. Bye. D.A. Chisholm, when you see the continued impact of things that are happening in the city in younger and younger people, you know, 10, 12 years old, 13 years old, just yesterday, 12-year-old boy being chased in a car. And, you know, so I hear people saying, well, you know, you gotta lock them up. Well, anybody who thinks that's the answer to 10, 12-year-old boys stealing cars is to lock them up. They are so clueless and so far away from understanding what is going on. Let's do this. Let's go to phone lines again. Who do we have on?
L.A. Tom is calling in.
All right. Hey, L.A., what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, first off, we the people are the government, and we must never forget that. And second, I am a proud SDR Democrat. And I hope more people say that. I want to say to, I'm from Wisconsin originally, Mr. Chisholm, and I want to say, and I also want to applaud you, and I want to thank you for actually going on these airwaves and being able to be strong enough to actually have a type of town hall meeting like this, where your constituents or people in the community can actually call in. I would say that that speaks volumes in terms of what it is you're doing.
It does.
You're not hiding away, and you're not doing any of that things, and you're talking in a very pragmatic way, and in a way that, honestly, I wish that some of the representatives would do so, you know, right here where I live now in California. But I just want to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for also pushing back against those people that are trying to sully or are trying to paint you in a different direction than what it is you're doing. Because it does come down to dollars and cents, and it does come down to, you know, other areas, such as Tony, the previous caller, that's well not too bright, you know, calling in and talking about national levels or, you know, national issues on local levels. So, again, I just want to say thank you very much. And I hope that you can continue to be on Earl's show.
Hey, Tom. Hey, man, thank you. I really appreciate it. He is everything that you just said. I really appreciate it. Sam, who do we have up next?
Bill from Oconomowoc's calling in.
Hey, Bill, what's going on, man? You say what?
Hey, Earl, you're right on target. You know, our those Republican characters, I don't call them friends at all anymore. They're terrorists. They're disgusting. They're thugs. They're crooks. They want to blame everybody but themselves for our Wild West we have now in the U.S. with the guns. My dad, who is retired captain from during World War II, when concealed carry came out and Scott Walker was pushing it, my dad says that man has lost his mind. And I said, why? He said, my dad said, Bill, if they put out guns the way they want to, we're going to have the Wild West. Well, now we've got the Wild West, and everybody's shooting everybody. But these goofballs still will ignore the fact you can't kill a person. You can't have a mass killing with a ball-peen hammer or a baseball bat. It's not going to happen. Wake up and smell the roses, you doofuses.
Hey, you
created this problem.
Thank you very much for the call. I'm glad you brought that up because, D.H. Chisholm, I wanted to he made me think about the fact that right now, nationally, you've got the President of the United States wanting to address the ghost guns that are legally manufactured without serial numbers. And here we are with all the killings and all the guns that you see in our community and that are at the root cause of this onslaught, and yet there are people saying, no, we need more and more guns.
So Earl and your last caller, I do appreciate what people have to know about my background was that in 1999, Mike McCann asked me to start up the Firearms Enforcement Unit of the Milwaukee County DA's office, and the goal of that unit was to aggressively investigate and prosecute violent offenders who used firearms to commit crimes. Now, at that time, we had one of the strictest concealed carry laws in the state of Wisconsin, and law enforcement would tell you that it was actually pretty effective in allowing them to identify people that were illegally using firearms. Now, I even at that time believed that a reasonable concealed carry permit system was appropriate. So I've never argued that people shouldn't have the right to carry firearms if they have received the proper credentialing. I think that that's at risk. You're seeing around the country that many states are now going to doing away with any requirements to carry a concealed weapon. And here's the consequence. You can talk about the politics all you want, but the reality is that every encounter that involves an argument, a conflict, involves armed people nowadays. And that's the difference, right? That is the difference, is that what would normally have been resolved as maybe a minor or even an escalated physical confrontation is now resulting in gunshots being exchanged or fired in one direction. And the tragedy just speaks for itself. The numbers I just never thought. I started in the early 90s at what I thought was the height of the violent crime problem in the city. We worked incredibly hard to push those numbers down and had done so successfully. By the year 2008, we had homicide numbers that were the same as they were in the 80s. And then everything changes, and slowly everybody is armed with a gun again, and these minor incidents get escalated to very serious, either fatal or non-fatal shootings. And the reality is, it makes it extraordinarily dangerous to be a police officer nowadays, too. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, I think everybody in the world should be armed with a gun, and also that I also support law enforcement 100%, because what it does is it just creates every minor encounter that an officer has is just fraught with peril.
But that's what you're hearing, though, John.
That yes.
People who want it both ways. And I know all the officers that I know, they don't want people to be walking around with guns. You know, like you said, you know, they can control things a little better. They fear for themselves. They don't know who now. You know, it's not a better thing, because I grew up at a time when there was not concealed carry and open carry. And so when law enforcement pulled people over, they weren't expecting and not knowing and being leery of whether or not somebody had a weapon. How is that a good thing?
It's just created a dynamic that is just really difficult to manage. That's the best way you can describe it. Because at the same time, I have also been criticized when I have not charged police officers when they've been involved in use of force incidents. And again, this is oftentimes a very controversial circumstance. I personally think that dynamic has changed dramatically in terms of accountability with the introduction and widespread adoption of body cameras. But certainly, you know, we just experienced, you know, significant social unrest related to police use of force, which is always an important, serious issue. One of the obligations of the prosecutor is to make sure that we're guarding the guardians as well, and making sure that they're honoring the Fourth Amendment and respecting people's constitutional rights and doing everything that they possibly can to keep people safe and yet respect their civil liberties at the same time. That's a tough job. That requires a person that is totally committed to public service and who's willing to make sacrifices and who, quite frankly, is going to have to deal with people at their worst and try to resolve situations that are always tense. Just flooding the market with high-capacity firearms doesn't make that job any easier.
No, it really doesn't. And I'll tell you, you know, I don't have to tell you. You can tell me and the listening audience. You know, when you see these younger and younger and younger children, you know, 13, 14 years old, 15 years old, they've got guns. And so... how in the world does a 13, 14-year-old, 15-year-old get a gun, and it's not that they get them from breaking into people's houses? That's not the number one way. You know, people can come into neighborhoods and sell guns, and even though you constantly know that the laws in this society are so easy, make it so easy for anybody to get their hands on a gun. It's one of the main reasons why we have so many killings in this society, because we continue to want everybody to have a gun. And everybody in this society doesn't have a gun. Only a third of the population does. And John, I've never been able to figure out why that third of the population can have so much power over the majority of us who don't agree with that. We've got to go to a break. Hold on. 844-967-2789 is the number. John Chisholm, the DA of the city of Milwaukee, is on the line. I'm glad he's here. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is D.A. John Chisholm. Let's go to Marty from Milwaukee. Hey, Marty, how you doing?
Very good, Earl. Always good to hear you. Thank you very much for having a guest on. That's great. Problem is, this seems to be a management problem to me. I do not hear any solutions whatsoever. There's a management problem in the DA's office, in the court system, in the police department, and even at the state level as well. I mean, this should be a partnership. This should be coordinated. We've never had an audit of the police department. I don't know if your office is audited as to where the resources are going, but this is a complete debacle. And for us to be in this situation calls for some change, for some self-reflection. And I just to get back to the solutions, if I could just ask the DA one question specifically. Is there a Brady list? Is there a Brady list in the Milwaukee Police Department of officers that your office cannot use in court? Yes or no?
Yes, but it's not in the Milwaukee Police Department. It's an obligation of a prosecutor's office to alert anybody who has been charged with a crime that a witness who could be a police officer is on our what we call our disclosure, our Brady disclosure list. That's been in existence in our office since the 1990s.
And
hold on, Marty. Let him respond.
Sure. Yeah.
So, in terms of your other question about auditing, asking where the resources come from, you have to understand that the Milwaukee County DA's office is unbelievably under resourced compared to comparable prosecutorial units around the country. The entry-level pay for a prosecutor is $52,000. That's less than a police officer makes. And I have to supplement the Milwaukee DA's office with federal grant money to about a third of the attorneys on staff right now. So this notion that somehow we've been wasting resources is just categorically false. The reality is that this is an extraordinarily difficult, stressful, and requires a complete commitment from the young people that come in to do the job. And they are doing extraordinary work each and every day. The challenges are overwhelming. You want to talk about resources. Why hasn't shared revenue for the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County been changed since 1990? The reason you don't have enough police officers and firefighters and you don't have enough resources for the court system is because the city and the county have been starved of equitable sharing of revenue from the state for over 20 years now. That's what I would point to. And so, yeah, I push back on this notion that, and this is a deliberate strategy by conservatives outside the city and county of Milwaukee. They want resources starved. They ultimately, I think, just because of their actions, kind of like seeing when things are extraordinarily challenged.
Hey, Marty,
I don't like seeing that.
Hey, Marty, you still there?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Let me ask you, man. You know, you're a longtime resident of the city, so am I. We see what is overwhelmingly happening in our community, and, it's at the worst that I've seen it in my 67 years of living. What do you think is at the root of it? Do you think that, law enforcement is at the root of the killings and all the crime that's going on in our community? You think the DA's office is at the root of that?
Well, I'm trying to get to the root of it. That's a perfect question, Earl. And my point is that I think it's a management problem because, as Mr. Chisholm just said, we're poorly compared to other cities. I'm pointing to a time in the city of Milwaukee, in the county of Milwaukee, where other communities came to us, for example, as to how to run a government. And we have completely lost our way in this city. And it's unfortunate. I don't...
Hey, Marty, thank you very much for the call. Yeah. I wish we had more time. Go ahead, D.A. Chisholm.
Look, it's a frustration that's shared across the board, and the reality is that the current structure, the current power structure within the state of Wisconsin, makes it incredibly challenging for county offices, for city offices, and others to provide the same level of service to a community that is faced with really unprecedented challenges at the same time. So that's, you know, when it's challenged as sort of a management, actually given the scarcity of resources, you've had this office, really doing some pretty extraordinary things with limited resources, but that doesn't take away the frustration from what people are seeing. And so the commitment we have is to continue working each and every day to try to affect greater levels of safety, greater levels of health, greater levels of security for the people living in our community, and that's what drives us each and every day. But we have to do it the right way. We have to do it in a principled and ethical way, and so there's no shortcuts. They're just simply, once you start going down the shortcut or pointing fingers at other people, it just doesn't get anything done.
DHism, you know, one of the reasons why, and I've said it again going back to when we first met and you first came in and we had dialogue, you know, I personally am not one of those who is willing to say that, you know, DHism's office is at the root of what is happening. You can't, on the one hand, say that it's mismanagement, but you won't talk about the mismanagement on the state level that still refuses to give the resources back to the Milwaukee County where they can take care of the business that you apparently are not taking care of based on what we just heard and mismanagement. But yet we don't talk about at the level that impacts and affects everything in Milwaukee County, not just law enforcement, but all the other things from education and all those other things. So yes, there is mismanagement, especially at the state level, where, you know, they won't even allow Milwaukee County to raise a sales tax where it can help the city of Milwaukee take care of its own business. So
that's exactly right. And at the end of the day, this city, this region is the engine for prosperity for the entire state. And so when tragic and frustrating things happen outside of the city that impact on the rest of the state or the community, it should be a wake-up call. It should be a wake-up call that says that we have to safeguard the health and well-being of this community as much as we do any other community in the state, because we can't succeed as a people if all we do is take political shots at each other and allow the problem to persist. We're not allowing the problem to persist. We're fighting each and every day, and we're doing so from my perspective, which is an informed perspective. What I see each and every day, you have people engaged in really heroic efforts to try to make this a better community.
So D.A. Chisholm, you are welcome anytime, and I really appreciate you, the work that you have done and continue to do. Know that there is somebody who respects that, and we'll reach out to you again. I really appreciate it.
That's my privilege to be here, and I welcome the opportunity to come back, Earl. Thank you
for
the opportunity.
We'll do that. All right, that's D.A. John Chisholm. I want to say thank you. I want to say, too, that my first guest, Mr. Party Kalika, the name of his book is The Gifts of Our Wounds. Okay? The Gifts of Our Wounds. Thank you, Sam. Thank everybody who took the time out to listen. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.